We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 14th chapter, verses 16 to 31. This is verse 16. Government men are always like carnivorous demons called rakshasas, man-eaters. Sometimes these government men turn against the conditioned soul and take away all his accumulated wealth. Being bereft of his life's reserved wealth, the conditioned soul loses all enthusiasm. Indeed, it is as though he loses his life. So what do you remember from Bhuj and Prabhu's class yesterday? Evening? Yes. Madhavan Puri? The direct meaning. Okay. Forest or material enjoyment. The merchant is a conditioned soul, greedy for material profit.
Yes, exactly.
He wants to make business in the forest.
And he's got that there are six plunderers waiting for him.
Yes.
Compared to the six senses.
The six senses or the six plunderers.
And basically the family members.
Family members.
Going to be hiding all the sets.
Yes, they are the legal thieves.
Yes.
The legal thieves are the family members. All the problems. What are the seeds of the weeds? The seeds that grow the weeds. What are these seeds? There's some seeds that you have, and later on they don't become destroyed, so they grow into weeds. Hare Purush Prabhu. Yes, desires. Desires for family life. So they grow again. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada said when devotees, they would, after a month or two, they would forget to shave their heads. So he said these are hippie weeds, hippie seeds. Long hair, hippie seeds. When you grow your hair long, that means you're going to become a hippie soon. And so Prabhupada said that my God brothers, they had a hard time to give up these hippie seeds. So who are the mosquitoes and locusts and birds of prey and rats? Who are all these people? Birds of prey, the rats, locusts, mosquitoes.
Envious
people. Undesirable association. Thieves that take away your hard and earn money. What is yellow stool?
Gold.
Yes. And what is the dust of the whirlwind? Yes, beauty of the wife. So running after material enjoyment is like running after a mirage in the desert. The owls and crickets. Backbiters. Impure trees, creepers, poisonous wells. Who are they? Living dead, the living dead. Who are these living dead? What kind? What is that?
Uncharitable.
Uncharitable, yes. They have money, but they don't want to give. So these are the living dead. So sometimes because of the heat of household life, then the grihastha, he goes to the living dead and tries to get money, but they don't want to give. So it's like going to a poisonous well to get water. Or jumping into the shallow river. Who are these? Impersonalists. Bogus swamis. So now we're hearing about carnivorous rakshasas, government men. So Prabhupada says in the purport of this 16th verse, at the end of the purport, actually, no one wants to pay income taxes. Even government men themselves try to avoid these taxes. But at unfavorable times, income taxes are exacted forcibly and taxpayers become very morose. So when Srila Prabhupada was in Africa, in one country, while Srila Prabhupada was there, the government passed a law in one of the countries that as of tomorrow, all land belongs to the government. You own nothing. So Prabhupada said, this is thievery. These are rakshasas. They're eating. And yesterday, at the post office, we went to pay our telephone bill. And one man was there. He had money in the post office, his bank account. He had a bank account with the post office. And he was trying to put money in, and they said, no, you can't put money in your account because you didn't take anything in or out since the last 4 years, so now you don't have any more money in your account. So this is going on in today's world, right in Vrindavan here. It is happening, especially in Vrindavan. It is happening that the government, you want to build Brahmacharya Ashram, you have to pay 1 crore rupees first to the city if you want to build the Brahmacharya Ashram. So these things are rakshasas, government rakshasas. They dress very nicely, but actually, here it says, I don't say, but it says in Bhagavatam that they are like rakshasas. So Bharatiya Prabhu gives a very nice example that we have money in reserve in case we have a problem. We keep some money in our account, just like you have fat on your body in case you get sick and lose weight. So there's a reserve if there's no food in future time. So you have this money, but then the government takes all of it away, so you have nothing. Srila Prabhupada was talking to one businessman, and the businessman said, I am earning so much money, but I could earn double if I wanted to, but I'm not going to, because if I earn double, then that much I earn, the government will take all of it away. So why should I work more and earn more money? So this is the condition of today's world. It's already happening. Government men. It was there in 5,000 years ago and millions of years, and it's happening right now. So verse 17, yes, there was a time in India, I was here, I don't know how many years ago, and they used to have 1,000 rupee, of course now they have 1,000 rupee notes, and then previously they had it, but then the government made a law that within 1 month you have to turn in all your 1,000 rupee notes or else they're worthless. So the problem was that all these people had black money, so they couldn't turn in their 1,000 rupee notes. Whoever kept it in 1,000 rupee notes, they lost all that black money. So we're talking to one businessman, and he says, I don't keep 1,000 rupee notes now because maybe the government will again do something like that. So these things are going on. And my grandmother, she had money, and she was very rich. She was in Poland. And then the communist government came, and they took away all the land, and she had to come as a poor immigrant to, not so poor, but she came as an immigrant to America. So these things are going on with the government men. Verse 17, sometimes the conditioned soul imagines that his father or grandfather has again come in the form of his son or grandson. In this way he feels happiness when sometimes feels in a dream. And the conditioned soul sometimes takes pleasure in such mental concoctions. So you are from India. People believe that, yes? Oh, so they named the grandchildren after the grandfather who already died. And I heard of somebody told me there's a system they have that when the person dies in the family, they put a tulsi leaf on one part of the body, and they remember which part of the body they put the tulsi leaf on. And then when the person comes in the next birth, they look for that mark of a tulsi leaf. They think this is where, because my son has a big tulsi leaf on his back, so I'm wondering about this anyway. I don't remember putting it on anybody, but anyway, these things are going on that in India, and they're thinking like that. And my one of my god sisters, no, not my god sister, she's a disciple of Fridyananda Maharaj. Her mother, before she died, she had three desires, or maybe two desires. It was two desires. She had cancer of the anus. So she said, I don't want to have an anus next. I just don't want one because it's so painful. And then the next desire was, I want to become closer to God. So then she died. And her daughter had a child, a girl child. The child was born without an anus. And so not God's sister, but anyway, Hridayananda Maharaj's disciple, she phoned her sister and said, bring her closer to God, it's mom, she's come back. And so these things happen, even nowadays. So this is actually, but it's a dream. It's all a dream. Because in this life, we come together as mother, son, husband, wife, or whatever. But in next life, we're again separated. So what is the use of becoming attached? Verse 18. In household life, one is ordered to execute many yajñas and fruitive activities, especially vivaha yajña, marriage ceremony for sons and daughters, and the sacred thread ceremony. These are all the duties of a grihastha, and they are very extensive and troublesome to execute. They are compared to a big hill over which one must cross when one is attached to material activities. A person desiring to cross over these ritualistic ceremonies certainly feels pains, like the piercing of thorns and pebbles endured by one attempting to climb a hill. Thus, the conditioned soul suffers unlimitedly. So Prabhupada says, purport, there are many social functions for keeping a prestigious position in society. In different countries and societies, there are various festivals and rituals. In India, the father is supposed to get his children married. When he does so, his responsibility to the family is complete. Arranging marriages is very difficult, especially in these days. The present moment, no one can perform the proper ritual of sacrifice, nor can anyone afford to pay for the marriage ceremony of sons and daughters. So it's the father of the girl who has to pay for the marriage and has to give so much dowry. When I was living down the street near Fogal Ashram, I saw there was one marriage across the street of these very poor people. They were just living on the side of the wall, and they had one cow or two cows. But when their son got married, a huge truck came and it dumped a refrigerator and a TV and a bed and all this stuff just for their little hole in the wall. So they got their son married, and they had such a huge dowry the wife had to give. So I was just amazed when I saw that mattresses and beds and utensils and refrigerator, motorcycle, they have to give to the husband. So I was reading in the paper last summer, I saw that right on the front page, three daughters commit suicide because the family had no money to get them married. So this is, and of course, the abortion is for the female children generally. They don't want to have the girl children. So therefore, the rate in India, there's many more men than there are ladies in India. Then at the same time, I saw a magazine, because I was looking for pictures for my son for art class. And there was an article about the marriage of the year. This was a very rich businessman in England, his daughter. And she got married, and he spent ₹244 crore on her marriage. You know how? Because they had the marriage in Paris, and they hired all these Bollywood actors, and they made a film for the girl and the boy, like they were like a romance. And the girl in the film, the girl and the boy got married, like his daughter and this other boy. And all these Bollywood stars were there to be in the film with them. So 244 crores just on his daughter's marriage. So this is going on. So Prabhupada says in the purport, therefore, householders are very much distressed when they are confronted by these social duties. It is though they were pierced by thorns and hurt by pebbles. Material attachment is so strong that despite the suffering, one cannot give it up. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommends, Itvatma patam vihamanda kupam vanam katoyad harima shayeta. So-called comfortable family position is compared to a dark well in a field. If one falls in a dark well covered by grass, his life is lost, despite his cry for rescue. Highly advanced spiritualists therefore recommend one should not enter Grihastha Ashram. It is better to prepare oneself in Brahmachari Ashram for austerities and remain a pure Brahmachari throughout one's life, so one will not feel the piercing thorns of material life in Grihastha Ashram. So there you go. All of you should be very happy that you are still Brahmachari, and you don't have to go into Grihastha Ashram. And if you want to go, then this is what you can expect, the hill of thorns. So life is much simpler without children. Children are expensive to maintain. And you think, oh, if I have children, I'll be very, very happy. But instead, you get suffering. So this is And now the children, when they become teenagers, two teenagers, they eat so much. They eat constantly. You feed them lunch, and after 3 hours, I'm hungry. What can I eat? So this is a very, very difficult situation. So we feel the thorns of family life. Verse 19, sometimes due to bodily hunger and thirst, the conditioned soul becomes so disturbed he loses his patience and becomes angry with his own beloved sons, daughters, and wife. Thus, being unkind to them, he suffers all the more. So you can't make the money to support them. And then they're saying, where's the money? Where's this? And then you say, I'm working hard. And they say, but we're hungry. And give us this, give us that. And you don't have it. And then you get angry with the kids. You get angry with the family. So Srila Vidyapati Thakur has sung, purport, Prabhupada says, Chattala Shaikate Baribindusam Sutamita Ramani Samaje. Happiness of family life is compared to a drop of water in the desert. No one can be happy in family life. According to Vedic civilization, one cannot give up responsibilities of family life. But today, everyone is giving up family life by divorce. This is due to the miserable condition experienced in the family. Sometimes, due to misery, one becomes very hardened toward his affectionate sons, daughters, and wife. This is but part of the blazing fire, the forest of material life. So this is when you have a divorce, there is so much problem. Actually, now I heard in the West that they have when you get married, then you have to already write down how you're going to divide the property in case you get a divorce. Because it's so common that you have to already, before you get married, you have to decide how to divide the property. And so this is, they expect it. But Prabhupada said, this place is like a desert, but our ISKCON should be like oasis in the desert, where people can come and get real water, get spiritual knowledge, get relief from this burning materialistic life. Verse 20, Shukadev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, my dear king, sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python or sleep. Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus, the conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. So material life, Prabhupada says, means being fully absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Out of these, sleep is taken very seriously. While asleep, one completely forgets the object of life and what to do. For spiritual realization, one should try to avoid sleep as much as possible. Goswamis of Vrindavan practically did not sleep at all. Of course, they slept some, for the body requires sleep, but they slept only about 2 hours, and sometimes not even that. They always engaged in spiritual cultivation, nidrahara vihara kari vijito. Following in the footsteps of Goswamis, we should try to reduce sleeping, eating, mating, and defending. So today, Devamrita Prabhu gave a nice class about the Goswamis, especially Rupa Goswami, and how they used to live here in Vrindavan. And devotees from Jagannath Puri and Bengal used to come up to Vrindavan to visit them. And whenever they would go up and they would come back, then they would say, they would ask, well, how is Rupa and Sanatan? How are they doing? What austerities are they performing? How are they living? And so the news would come, yes, they are hardly sleeping 2 hours a night, and sometimes they forget to do even that. So this was what was happening. And every night they would sleep under a different tree. So this is the Paramahansa. He doesn't need to sleep. Actually, Prabhupada wrote in one purport that the soul doesn't need sleep. The soul doesn't need to eat. The soul doesn't need any of these things. It's just the body. So, of course, the opposite is true for most of the people in this world. And I got one comic here from a newspaper that illustrates this fact. What is the world doing today? This is Garfield the cat. You probably can't see it. Anyway, there's this cat sleeping. The cat is lying down and sleeping. And he's thinking to himself, sometimes I sleep so much I can't tell if it's day or night. So he's lying down there. And my son read this comic and he said, this is me. Because he used to sleep at 12 and it's still 12 or 1 at night. He gets up at 10 in the morning and I wake and I, if I make some noise at 7, he says, what are you doing middle of the night? Don't wake me up. And so he says, this is me. Sometimes I sleep so much I can't tell if it's day or night. Then the next space it says, sometimes I eat so much I can't tell if I'm hungry or full. And then the last square, Garfield says, ignorance is bliss. So this is the philosophy nowadays, that people, they think to sleep more, to eat more, this is life, this is enjoyment. So ignorance is bliss, but here in the verse it says, they're like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. So people are sleeping, and our duty is to wake them up to Krishna consciousness. So the python is devouring us. Burijan Prabhu, he gives an example that sometimes devotees, they would go to extremes about trying to not sleep, trying to not eat. And he said he saw somebody was giving Bhagavatam class and he fell asleep while he was giving class because he didn't get enough sleep. Yeah, and so we were going to extremes. I remember when I was a new bhakti in the temple, people were chanting japa. And sometimes they would stand up so they wouldn't fall asleep, but then sometimes they'd fall on the ground because they fell asleep while they were standing up chanting japa. So we shouldn't, and we were told 4 hours of sleep is enough. That's what you should do. 4 hours. So we were getting 4 hours of sleep. So this was happening. So Prabhupada said, but if you're going to drive a car, you should sleep before you drive. Because so many accidents happened with our devotees on Sankirtan that they wouldn't sleep. They would try to drive 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours without stopping. And then they would have an accident. They fall asleep at the wheel. So this is not how we are supposed to follow the six Goswamis. We are supposed to... What does it say in Bhagavad Gita, actually? What is our proper instruction? No, Adipurush is not here.
6 hours.
What?
6 hours.
What does it say in the Sanskrit?
It says,
yuktahara viharasa yukta chestasa karmashu yukta sapnavabodasa yoga vabhuti dukha. You have to balance. You have to balance between, what is it, eating, sleeping, working, and recreation? Is that it? The Goswamis were not balanced. They were beyond the rules and regulations. But if you're not a Goswami, then you better follow. This is what Bhagavad Gita says. Yes, because they were more on the spiritual side, so they could go that side. They didn't have to. Their bodies were more on the spiritual side, so they could stop sleeping and stop eating. But our bodies are more in the material side, so we have to yuktahara viharasya. So, verse 21, in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul is sometimes bitten by envious enemies, which are compared to serpents and other creatures. Through the tricks of the enemy, the conditioned soul falls from his prestigious position. Being anxious, he cannot even sleep properly. He thus becomes more and more unhappy and he gradually loses his intelligence and consciousness. In that state, he becomes almost perpetually like a blind man who has fallen into a dark well of ignorance. Purport. The Prabhupada says about 6 lines down. I'm in the next verse. So we'll go to verse 22. The conditioned soul is sometimes attracted to the little happiness derived from sense gratification. Thus he has illicit sex or steals another's property. At such a time, he may be arrested by the government or chastised by the woman's husband or protector. Thus, simply for a little material satisfaction, he falls into a hellish condition, is put into jail for rape, kidnapping, theft, and so forth. So Prabhupada says in the purport, consequently, illicit sex must be stopped by those who are spiritually inclined or who are on the path of spiritual realization. Many devotees fall down due to illicit sex. They may steal money and even fall down from the highly honored renounced order. Then, for a livelihood, they accept menial services and become beggars. It is therefore said in Shastras, materialism is based on sex, whether licit or illicit. Sex is full of dangers even for those who are addicted to household life. Whether one has a license for sex or not, there is great trouble. After one indulges in sex, many volumes of misery ensue. One suffers more and more in material life. A miserly person cannot properly utilize the wealth he has, and similarly, a materialistic person misuses the human form. Instead of using it for spiritual emancipation, he uses the body for sense gratification. Therefore, he is called a miser. So the verses are going one after the other, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We have to defend from the government men. Defending, eating, sleeping, mating, these four things are not the purpose of human life. So what are some examples of misusing the human form of life? Some analogies. Analogies. If you misuse the human form of life, it is like doing this. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Okay, what? He's a kripana or a miser who misuses the human form of life like cats and dogs. Right. Any other examples, analogies? Who? It is the killer of the soul, Atmaha. Atmaha. Yes. Also, it's like Prabhupada said, using sandalwood, beautiful, fragrant sandalwood, and you use it for firewood, you burn it up, use it for cooking. So that's misusing the human form of life. Or as Brijam Prabhu says, take a computer and hammer in nails with it. And that's the human form of life misused. So verse 23, learned scholars and transcendentalists therefore condemn the materialistic path of fruitive activity because it is the original source and breeding ground of material miseries, both in this life and in the next. So karma kanda is being condemned at this point. So who is being preached to? Who is the person who is meant to hear all this preaching?
We?
Who else in Bhagavatam? Parikshit. And who else? Rahugana. Maharaj Rahugana. So Maharaj Rahugana was the king. He was thinking he was such a great king. He was following fruitive activities. And now it is being condemned by Jalabharat. Learned scholars. So verse 24. Stealing or cheating another person out of his money, conditioned soul somehow or other keeps it in his possession and escapes punishment. Then another man named Devadatta cheats him and takes the money away. Similarly, another man named Vishwamitra steals the money from Devadatta and takes it away. In any case, the money does not stay in one place. It passes from one hand to another. Ultimately, no one can enjoy the money, and it remains the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what happens if you take money from Krishna, or you take Lakshmi, and you don't use it for Krishna? What is the result? Anybody have experience? We have very nice devotees here. They don't misuse Lakshmi. What happens? Yes? He took all the money from the Sunday program. A lot of money. Full box.
Yeah, and so he put it in a bag and ran away. And no one knew.
He put it in a bag and ran away and nobody knew.
So only when the devotees came to Mandalarki, they found that it was stolen last night.
So the devotees came to Mangalarti, they found all the money was stolen from the pranami box.
So then after a few days, the man came.
After a few days, the man came back?
With a bag of money.
With a bag of money.
And begging forgiveness.
Begging forgiveness.
He said, as soon as I reach my thing.
As soon as he got home, he heard a voice, give it back immediately. He couldn't sleep, he couldn't eat, he couldn't do anything. And there was a voice in his head, give it back immediately.
After a few days of that suffering,
So after a few days of suffering like that, he brought it all back. So this is one result of trying to take Lakshmi from Krishna. Yes. Well, so one bhakta took away 2,000 rupees.
Actually, after some time, he got mad. He became mad.
He became crazy after some time. So what does it say in, actually, in the first canto about of gold? If you, not only if you just take Lakshmi from Krishna, but if you keep it, if you stash it, if you keep a reserve of money or gold, if you keep it without spending, if you just like have a huge bank balance or something, what is the fault in that? What is the problem? We learn in first canto. Kali stays there, yes. Kali has four places to stay. Actually, five places. And the fifth place is gold. Jai Maharaj, Jai Maharaj. Oh, double. Double today. We have double. Double mercy. Oh, yes, somebody had their hand over here? Yes? One story about taking Lakshmi from Narayan. One pujari came over from India.
Of course, the motivation was the usual dream of all Indians.
Yeah, he wanted to go to the West and get a green card and make a lot of money and forget devotional service. Forget Krishna. So he served for 6 months. He wanted to go to America. America is the best place. London is not first anymore. So America is the dream now for all people, even my son. So he took all the money from the deities and bought a ticket to America.
No one knew.
Yes. Yes. As soon as he arrived in America, he had a car crash and got paralyzed for life. So all you CD listeners, be careful. Don't take Lakshmi from Narayan. Yes, this is the result of taking Lakshmi from Narayan. So, yes? Last year? Oh, she told the story last year. Not in my class. I didn't hear it. It's first time. So anyway, yeah, these are examples of at best you repent and you come back, but at worst you lose your devotional service, stop for quite some time. Yes. In Mayapur. Next to ISKCON. Gaudiamath.
The paraphernalia there is in
gold. It is solid gold paraphernalia. Whoa. The pujari, after many years, stole one item, paraphernalia.
He crossed the fields.
So no one would see him, right? As he was running through the fields, a big cobra was chasing him.
So then he started to hasten the pace.
So he went faster.
And the cobra was closing in on him.
Cobra was coming closer, closing in. And the cobra was catching up.
And then he understood this is Balaram.
So he understood it's Balaram.
He bowed down to the cobra.
He bowed down, offered obeisances to the cobra.
And he brought back the
and he brought the golden item back.
Because not to the temple, he would have been beaten to death.
Oh, at the temple, he would have been beaten to death. Yeah, that's the... there's no law. Everyone takes law in their own hands in India. Yeah, they would have killed him.
So he went to the police station.
He went to the police station. And left it.
And left
for good.
But at least, you know, later he confessed the whole thing, and to him he was Balaram or Krishnanag.
To him it was Balaram chasing him in the fields to get the golden item back.
Yeah,
he offered obeisances to the cobra. Cobra didn't harm him, and then he dropped it in the police station like a good boy. He didn't. He said, "That's okay, I don't want it." So we should not get ideas of trying to take... We may be small thieves. Prabhupada was talking with one rich life member. I don't know where, in which city of India, but life member was very pious, and he was giving donations. And so he was questioning the life member, "So you have a glass factory. So where is this, where are your ingredients coming from?" He says, "Oh, I get sand." And he says, "Oh, who gives you the sand?" He says, "Krishna." So he says, "But I give donations to the temple and this thing." So Prabhupada said, "But you're a thief." So the man says, "But I'm just a small thief."
Is he stealing like from the bank of the jeweler or something?
I don't know. No, no, he was just taking sand, but all the sand is Krishna's sand, not just Jamuna's sand. Krishna is everywhere. So this is the best way to keep Lakshmi is to keep her next to Narayan. So Prabhupada says in the last paragraph of the purport, "Foolish materialistic people and foolish devotees collect money and steal from other thieves, but they cannot keep it. In any case, it must be spent. One person cheats another, and another person cheats someone else. Therefore, the best way to possess Lakshmi is to keep her by the side of Narayan. That is the point of the Krishna conscious movement. We worship Lakshmi, Radharani, along with Narayan, Krishna. We collect money from various sources, but that money does not belong to anyone but Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. If money is utilized in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, the devotee automatically lives in an opulent way. However, if one wants to enjoy Lakshmi the way Ravana did, he will be vanquished by the laws of nature, and whatever few possessions he has will be taken away. Finally, death will take everything away, and death is a representative of Krishna. And if you, some devotees, you know, they live very poorly, they do so many austerities, but then after some time, as a result of devotional service, you get some benefits. People start liking you, and they give you donations, and or you may even get an inheritance when your father and mother dies. And then what happens when the devotee gets the money, then they go away. They think, okay, now I can go and live. I will make my own house, my own temple in my house. But actually what happens is they forget. They go actually go away. They go very far.
Yesterday, Bodhi Temple was telling Bloop Fund.
What is that?
Bloop Fund.
Bloop?
Fund.
Fund. Bloop Fund. So the money you get, your inheritance is a bloop fund. It's the fund you can use to bloop. But if Krishna is very merciful, he takes all that away. That's what happened to my ex-husband. He got an inheritance. He spent it all. Krishna took everything away. Whatever he made, whatever he invested, whatever he built, is all taken away. And then he had nothing. He came back to Krishna consciousness. So this is going on. This is actually, it's Krishna. Krishna's mercy. So, Bali Maharaj, he was an example of someone. He didn't even listen. He rejected his guru's advice because his guru was attached to the money. But Bali Maharaj, he was attached to Krishna. So therefore, he gave it to Krishna. And Chanaka Pandit therefore advises that sannimite varam tyago vinashe niyate sati. Since our money and possessions don't last but will be taken away, as long as they're in our possession, better use them for charity to a noble cause. So I have something here that's quite interesting. Does everybody know who is Ambarish, my godbrother? Ambarish, Prabhu. Anybody not know? He's very famous. Ambarish Prabhu is the great-grandson of Ford, Alfred Ford, who made the first car in America, Ford. Very, very rich. So he's my godbrother. He did a lot of service for Srila Prabhupada. He helped to pay for the temple in Detroit. He paid for the Hawaii temple. And he said, he was telling, yes?
Mayapur Samadhi.
Mayapur Samadhi? Oh. And he was telling that he brought a beautiful car when Prabhupada was there. In Detroit, he would pick up Srila Prabhupada in a white Lincoln Continental, big, big car, Ford car. And they would put inside all these flowers. And then every morning he would drive Prabhupada to a park for his morning walk. And he said they would drive it in the park, in the bushes, in the mud. He would drive it everywhere just so Prabhupada wouldn't have any trouble to get out. So by the time he said he took the car back, it was all beaten up and scratched and flowers inside. And it was a wreck, he said, when he took it back. But he didn't care. Of course, he had millions of dollars. So anyway, he's giving some advice here about using Lakshmi for Krishna. This is from a magazine that's printed in Mayapur every so often, every few months. And they did an interview with Ambarish. So the first question, how does being rich reflect in trying to practice devotional service? So Ambarish said, I've been fortunate to have been given many services to do by Srila Prabhupada. I've seen many times when people have a lot of opulence, they become frustrated trying to buy happiness. Srila Prabhupada taught me how to properly engage Lakshmi. Without this training, I would have been lost like so many of the people I grew up with. Wealth can be a terrible hindrance or boon in the practice of devotional service. That is why it is such a blessing to have association of a bona fide spiritual master. He can clear away the fog of illusion and make one's path unambiguous. So then they ask the next question, how does it feel to be famous because of being rich? So Ambarish says, when you have wealth, you have some protection from the nastier aspects of Kali Yuga. But this is an illusion. You may be a first-class prisoner, but you're still a prisoner, and your days are numbered. I can see that since the time I was born, there has been so much advancement of the degrading results of the age. Practically, there is no effective antidote to this fever. The only way is a soothing relief of the holy name. So this is the realization of a millionaire, who is our godbrother, Ambarish Prabhu. Huh? Yes, he should. Bill Gates is a nervous wreck, right? I don't know. My son saw him on some video or something. He was like really shaking and nervous. And he doesn't seem to be very well.
I was told that Ambarish is not fabulously rich.
He's not so rich.
No, is that only 5% of...
5% of the inheritance. Okay.
So is that...
He's not like Bill Gates.
Billions.
Yeah, he only has a few million.
Few millions.
Yes, we don't. Few millions here or there, give or take. Yes, Patri. You had a program in Delhi. And Ambarish came. Oh, wonderful. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj. So big rich people came to this program. So many people came. Who spent?
All the companies and some
spent. All the companies came.
Just to invite
Ambarish. Oh, so many companies came.
Yeah.
And they spent lakhs of rupees in Delhi to invite Ambarish.
Yeah, and he made presentation of Mayapur Project.
And he made presentation of Mayapur Project.
And all these guys, they're very official, very cold.
He was very official to these people. Yes. You had a what? A coin. 400 years old.
From
Bharik Ashram.
So, and I just said, Ambarish Prabhu, I just don't have my business for much time. But I would like to give you this small donation, one coin. Let it be beginning of a big project. And he was like, child, so happy. So, wow, it's just, he took it. And when the US, when the program was finished, these people came around him, expecting him to give them some, attach some glance, you know, from Ambarish. But he didn't care of them. It was big crowd, and instead of, you know, to grade them, some inspire them, he just called me, Patri, come! Because I was behind, like, he goes, come, and he just squeezed the crowd, and he embraces them. Thank you very much. And these people were thinking, who is this poor Brahmachari? And I realized, actually, he's so simple. By being so, you can
yes.
see on the level, he is Vaishnava.
He's a pure Vaishnava. He's a very simple person. So he was in this engagement in Delhi. Very, very rich people were there. And Patri had this little coin. He says, I'm a poor brahmachari. Please accept this donation from me. And Ambarish was very happy. But he didn't notice the rich, rich people who were coming around him. And then finally, after the program, all these very wealthy people were around him trying to get some mercy or glance. And then he didn't look at them. He just was calling Patri. Come Patri, come Patri. And then he embraced Patri. And so this is going on.
It was Radha Krishna on the coin.
So just see the heart of a Vaishnava. that he would much rather have the Radha Krishna coin than, because he can get the other money easily, but that money he doesn't get. 400 years old from Bhadravik Ashram. Actually, I think I would like to repeat one thing for those of you who came late. The comic. The Maharajas didn't see it, and Adipurush missed it. Did you see it? Oh, the girls missed it. So I'll just tell you one more time the comic. This is about sleeping. It's talking about, there is a verse here about sleep that it's like a python, and those who are sleeping, they're in the darkness of ignorance, like dead bodies thrown in the forest. So this is a comic from Garfield. And Garfield, in the first square, he says, sometimes I sleep so much, I can't tell if it's day or night. And then the next square, it says, sometimes I eat so much, I can't tell if I'm hungry or full. And then the last square, he's sleeping, and he says, ignorance is bliss. And so then my son, he read this, he said, that's me. That's me. Because he still sleeps at 12 or 1, and he gets up at 10 in the morning, so he doesn't know if it's day or night. You wake him up. So this is going on. Of course, teenage life is like that, I guess. Yeah, ignorance is bliss. He says, why should I wake up? I have nothing to do. So what do you say? Today he went to Delhi. He got up early. So, verse 25. Being unable to protect himself from the threefold miseries of material existence, a conditioned soul becomes very morose and lives a life of lamentation. These threefold miseries are miseries suffered by mental calamity at the hands of the demigods, such as freezing wind and scorching heat, miseries offered by other living entities, and miseries arising from the mind and body themselves. What's an example? Of course, we don't have to think of examples from the demigods. If you live in Vrindavan, you get plenty of examples. Heat, too hot, too cold, storm. Yesterday was very nice, it rained. But generally, it's either you're wishing it was cold or you're wishing it was hot. If you live in Vrindavan, you can't enjoy over here. Then hands of other living entities, and the mind and body. Actually, this is the worst thing, is your own mind. And this is what we're learning in this section of Jalabharat. How does the mind give you trouble? What are the ways that the mind causes misery? Oh, can you flip a few pages here so we keep up to date? What did we learn the last few days about the mind in this chapter? How is the mind giving us trouble? Okay, that's enough. Yeah, we can stop there. Yes, Sankirtan.
Makes me think I'm this body.
Makes you think you're the body, right. It's the cause of so much suffering. Actually, our worst enemy. So here it's talking about the miseries. Govindadas. Prabhupada talks about this often. He quotes one song by Govindadas. Sitaya tapa patavari sana etina jamine jagire vifale sevinu kripana durachana chapala sukalava lakire. So sita atapa bata parishana means cold, severe cold, scorching heat. I don't care, I have to go to work, have to go to office. So this is going on, this is nature's law. So everyone is experiencing these miseries of life. So what's the difference? We asked this question yesterday. So there's so many people in the material world, they're working hard, and we're working hard. We're also doing austerities. We're also scorching heat, severe cold. What's the difference? What is the benefit of doing it for Krishna? Should we all go out and get a job and make some money? You can make spiritual advancement if you do it for Krishna. Adi Purush.
If you don't do it for Krishna, it's all temporary.
Yes, if you don't do it for Krishna, it's temporary. You may work hard, but what you're working for, you will lose. It's temporary. And we're working hard, but what we get, we don't lose. Yes?
Probably action is the same,
but the aim is different. Yes. So again, yesterday we talked about Shreyas and Prayas. That Prayas, you get immediate, they want immediate something, but we don't get. We may not get immediate. We're looking for the long-term solution. And they're looking for short-term. Shreyas and Prayas. Verse 26, as far as transactions with money are concerned, if one person cheats another by a farthing or less, they become enemies. So here in this purport, I'm not going to read the purport, but Prabhupada calls the scientists cheaters. Why? Why does he do that? Won't they get upset? He's calling them cheaters, yes. Their theories are not well grounded. Always changing. This is one problem, that they have one theory now and they have a new one tomorrow. And the one they had a few hundred years ago is outdated within 10, 20 years. Yes?
They present to the government often some theories for big projects and big money, but actually, so because no one can understand what they speak about, how they do it. So they take a lot of money, but they don't use it as they say.
Right. So they cheat. Here Prabhupada says they propose going to the moon, but they actually end up cheating the entire public of large sums of money for their experiments. There is a picture, a comic in the newspaper, and it showed a picture of rocks that they got from the moon in a glass box. And the people were looking at the rocks, and the people had tattered clothes, and they were skinny and hungry. And here they were spending money for the rocks on the moon, but the people themselves were starving. And so this is, and also I think I told this last year, in India, in the 1970s, when I was here, when I first came, I don't think there was TV. There was no TV in India. So then there was, but Indira Gandhi, she said, yes, I will bring TV for India. So there was a comic in the paper, and it showed the people were, there was no rice also. There was like a shortage of rice. We had rationed rice in Bombay. We didn't have rice for our temple. We were eating that Ekadashi Khichdi for months and months. There was no rice. So there's a picture in a comic in the paper that the people are saying, we want rice, we want rice, we want wheat. And she was saying, don't worry, I'll give you TV in 1 week. So this is going on. And this is when I was here in the 70s, then they were, why there was no rice? Because they were shipping it to Russia, trading it for weapons, defense. So that's why Russia didn't have wheat either and rice. So they were taking it from India. And in exchange, they were giving weapons. So this is going on. Philosophers are also cheaters. Did Prabhupada say that? Yes. Why is a philosopher a cheater? Yes?
They don't know anything about religion.
Yes, they don't know anything about religion. And they're speaking as if they know. And Prabhupada says here in the purport, one may profess a high philosophy, but when one is in need of money, he becomes a cheater. So Birajan Prabhu gave an example. There was one movement in America at the same time as our movement called the Moonies, M-O-O-N-I-E-S, Moonies. So these Moonies, what they used to do, they would go to the scholars and they would pay them large sums of money if they would write a favorable review on their movement or on their, yes, about their activities. So they would buy scholars. They would pay the scholars. The scholars would sell themselves for money. And so this is going on. Verse 27. We're hearing about the forest of enjoyment. In this materialistic life, there are many difficulties, as I have just mentioned, and all of these are insurmountable. In addition, there are difficulties arising from so-called happiness, distress, attachment, hate, fear, false prestige, illusion, madness, lamentation, bewilderment, greed, envy, enmity, insult, hunger, thirst, tribulation, disease, birth, old age, and death. All these combine together to give the materialistic conditioned soul nothing but misery. So here's some of the miseries of this material world. Are we all convinced that it's a miserable place? Or do we believe it? Or do we think, no, but I can still get something, you know, if I just do this and this way I can. Maybe if I just, I can make money somehow, or I can get another husband, another wife. And no, next time around it'll be better. Next time around means next birth. Any desire you have in this life gives you another body. Any desire, one body. Next desire, next body. So how many bodies do we have to take before we realize this is the end? And this is what's happening, and this is the news in this material world. This is all that we have here. Sukha, dukkha, raga, dvesha, bhaya, abhiman, pramad, unmad, shoka, moha, lobha, matsarya, irsha, avamana, kshut, pipasa, adhi, vyadhi. This is what we get if we live in the material world. What is the... There's an analogy from Mahabharata, which I don't have in front of me, but it's good to remember this analogy. Remember that analogy? It's about the frying pan. That everybody is being fried in the frying pan of this material world. And there's a cook, and there's a fire, and who's the cook? There's a stirring ladle. Remember that? Okay, who's the cook? No. Time. Somebody higher than Yamaraj. It's time. Time is the cook. And the fire. What is the fire? I can't remember. Day and night. Yeah, the seasons. Okay, so this is going on, and everybody's being fried in the frying pan of this material world. And everybody's so attached, because inside the frying pan we have our family. And so we're attached. No, my husband, no, it's all right. We'll make a nice life in the frying pan. We'll make it okay. We will succeed. We will win the struggle for existence. So this is going on. Verse 28. Sometimes the conditioned soul is attracted by illusion personified, his wife or girlfriend, becomes eager to be embraced by a woman. Thus he loses his intelligence as well as knowledge of life's goal. At that time, no longer attempting spiritual cultivation, he becomes overly attached to his wife or girlfriend and tries to provide her with a suitable apartment. Again, he becomes very busy under the shelter of that home, captivated by the talks, glances, and activities of his wife and children. In this way, he loses his Krishna consciousness and throws himself in the dense darkness of material existence. So what is the verse? I don't know if you had to learn this verse from Rishabdev. There's a verse that describes this. Did you have to learn that? Pungsastriya? Mituni bhava metam. Tayor metam. Hridya granti mahu. Ato griha kshetta sutapta vita. Janasya maho yamaham mameti. So you get the hridya granti. First you get together. The knot is there. I saw the fire, how they do in the Vedic fire sacrifice. They actually put the hands together and they make a knot with a garland. They make the knot. Of course, that's the first knot. And then the second knot is in the heart when you actually come together for sex life. And after the second, after that knot, then ato, griha, house, kshetra, field, land, sutta, children, apta, friends, and vita, wealth. So then, one knot, two knots, three knots, four, so many knots. And so you can't get out. There's another example that we heard quite a few classes ago. I think it may be Rishabdev. It's about the chains of the prison. You know the Sanskrit for that, Adipurush Prabhu? Agara? Maitunya? Agara, yes. And so the chain is sex life. And this is also being described in this verse. It doesn't matter if we're in the prison, doesn't matter if we're in the frying pan, still we want to be happy in this world. So Prabhupada says that in the purport, when Bengali poet Bankim Chandra says, to the eyes of the lover, the beloved is always very beautiful, even though ugly. This attraction is called Deva Maya. Attraction between man and woman is cause of bondage for both. Actually, both belong to Para Prakriti, superior energy of the Lord. But both are actually Prakriti, female. However, because both want to enjoy one another, they are sometimes described as Purusha, male. Actually, neither is Purusha. Both can be superficially described as Purusha. So if we actually could see what's going on in this world, they're trying to wake us up here. to see what's going on. Soon as man and woman are united, they become attached to home, hearth, land, friendship, and money. In this way, they're both entrapped in material existence. Bhujalata Upagudha, being embraced by beautiful arms, are compared to creepers, describes the way conditioned soul is bound within this material world. Products of sex life, sons and daughters, certainly follow. This is the way of material existence. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described this materialistic life to Raghunath Das Goswami. This is Antya Lila 6, 193. Prabhu kahe Krishna kripa balishta shava hoite tomare karila vishay vishta gartha hoite. Lord Chaitanya said, the mercy of Lord Krishna is stronger than anything else. Therefore, the Lord has delivered you from the ditch of materialistic life, which is like a hole into which people pass through. So the ditch of materialistic life. So Raghunath Das Goswami had so much money. He was one of the wealthiest people of the time. He had everything. Lord Chaitanya said, this is a ditch where people go to pass through. I know, and when I used to live in Goa, of course, here they pass in the ditch. But we had we had an ancient outhouse, and it was a room. You walk in this room, you go up the steps, and there was a hole in the ground. And then the hole led to a hole in the wall. And then you pass your stool, and the pig comes, and he eats it. So while you're there, the pig comes and disposes of everything. And so this is actually what is being described here, that we're thinking people are this yellow stool. We're thinking that this money, that this opulence, family life, this is desirable. But Lord Chaitanya says, it's not. It's a ditch where people go to pass through. So Prabhupada says something even stronger. Lord Chaitanya gave his verdict. Those who are addicted to materialistic way of life are like worms that are living in stool but cannot give it up. So this is quite heavy words. It really makes you want to give it up. So, those of you who have not tasted the stool, it's better you don't taste it. And those of you who have tasted it, then time to give it up. Grihavrata, one who has decided to live in a comfortable home, although it is actually miserable, is in a condemned position. Only the mercy of Krishna can save one from such misery. So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice. Verse 29. Personal weapon used by Lord Krishna, the disc is called Hari Chakra, disc of Hari. This chakra is the wheel of time. It expands from the beginning of the atoms up to the time of Brahma's death, and it controls all activities. It is always revolving and spending the lives of the living entities, from Lord Brahma down to an insignificant blade of grass. Thus, one changes from infancy to childhood to youth and maturity. Thus, one approaches the end of life. It is impossible to check this wheel of time. This wheel is very exacting because it is a personal weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the conditioned soul, fearing the approach of death, wants to worship someone who can save him from imminent danger. Yet he does not care for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose weapon is the indefatigable time factor. The conditioned soul instead takes shelter of a man-made god described in unauthorized scriptures. Such gods are like buzzards, vultures, herons, and crows. Vedic scriptures do not refer to them. Imminent death is like the attack of a lion. Neither vultures, buzzards, crows, nor herons can save one from such an attack. One who takes shelter of unauthorized man-made gods cannot be saved from the clutches of death. So what's a buzzard? I don't know does anybody know what a buzzard is? You know, yeah. He flies around.
Yeah.
He circles. And then he goes for the dead, just like the vulture. Buzzards and vultures. It's like the same as a vulture. So the vulture circles around and it goes for the dead body. And crows also, they go. Just like today in my backyard, there is a dead something, I don't know what it was. Maybe a little wolf or a baby cat or a wolf. And the crows were all there surrounding it. And then one cow came. And the cow was sniffing, what are they eating? Must be something here to eat. So the cow went and she was, and then she put her head up and made such a face when she smelled the dead body. So there's crows and there's cows, or swans and crows. So the crows, they go for the dead body, and the vultures and the buzzards, and the herons. And these are the cheating gurus, pseudo-incarnations, man-made gods. Because why are they compared to buzzards, vultures, herons, and crows? Why are they compared, the cheating gurus? Maharaj?
We have
two. They go after the dead body.
Oh.
Okay, they want to be cheated by false gurus because they don't want to give everything up. Okay. And the false gurus, they're after what the crows want. What is it? Remember the first canto. Refuse remnants of sensuous topics. Refuse garbage. The crows, so these gurus are also after the same thing. They go to America and then they get some women, they get some money, and they fall down with their secretary or whatever, and that's what they go for, actually.
Also, compared to the advancement of knowledge, you know, decoration of a dead body.
Decoration of a dead body, Isha Upanishad.
Actually, it's Hari Bhakti Sudodaya.
Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, originally.
So they decorate dead bodies just to forget that the person is dead.
So they decorate the dead body to forget the person is dead.
In the same way, this littering of material creation is shallow.
Right.
There's no value, but they decorate it to make it.
So they decorate their dead knowledge to make it attractive, so people won't know that the knowledge is dead.
And the example also is given of the jewel cobra.
Cobra, oh yes. The jewel on the snake and the head of a cobra. Very attractive, the cobra, is because it has a jewel in its head. But you get bitten, yes. Fanamali? Yes, they cannot save, but they pose themselves as gurus. So Prabhupada says in the purport, five lines down, conditioned soul sometimes wants to take shelter of a demigod, man-made god, pseudo-incarnation, or bogus swami or yogi. All these cheaters claim to follow religious principles. And all this has become very popular in this age of Kali. So we discussed this at length yesterday, because the same verses were in chapter 13, all the different types of cheating that's going on, and especially some of them, they join ISKCON and then become a very big guru. And leave ISKCON and become a guru. There is one lady, actually, who did that. And she was a model, a famous model somewhere. And she joined ISKCON for a few years, and then she became a big guru in Bangladesh. Had many, many followers. So some ISKCON devotees do this. They get a little knowledge, and then they use it in the wrong way. So Prabhupada says, there are many Pashandis who, without referring to Shastras, pose themselves as incarnations, and foolish people follow them. Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, has left behind him Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Not referring to these authorized scriptures, rascals take shelter of man-made scriptures, try to compete with Lord Krishna. That is the greatest difficulty. What's an example of a man-made scripture? Man-made scriptures. Yes.
The
Moonies have their own scripture. Okay.
Also the Mormons
have their own scripture. So man-made scriptures. Yes, these are distortions. Distorted versions of Gita. Okay. Patri?
They have some organization called Krishna Pranami.
They have something concocted called... It's called Krishna Pranami.
One book.
They're worshipping one book. He took some Sikh and put it together. No deities. Thousands of followers. But this is going on in Kali Yuga. So many imitations of Krishna. So many man-made scriptures. So, Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness, that is the greatest difficulty one encounters when trying to promote spiritual consciousness in human society. Krishna conscious movement is trying its best to bring people back to Krishna consciousness in its pure form. But the Pashandis and atheists, cheaters, so numerous sometimes we become perplexed and wonder how to push this movement forward. In any case, we cannot accept the unauthorized ways of so-called incarnations, gods, cheaters, and bluffers who are described here as crows, vultures, buzzards, and herons. So, this is the Hari. In this verse, it talks about the Hari Chakra. In the sixth canto, we're going to hear some more about this chakra. Narada Muni will describe it to the Haryashvas, 6519, that it's made of sharp blades and thunderbolts, moving very sharply, uninterrupted, fully independent. It drives the activities of the entire world like razors. The chakra is moving, cutting people down. So, Prabhupada sometimes, they would bring up different incarnations. One time they brought up one incarnation to Prabhupada, that this one, he's making gold. They said, Prabhupada, he's making gold, isn't that wonderful? So Prabhupada said, well, if he's making gold, then why is he doing incense business? Why does he need to do business if he's making gold? Why he has a big incense business? So this is going on. Then Prabhupada told how you can really make gold. I think I already told this in one class. The yogis, they drink mercury at nighttime. Then they pass urine in the morning on a copper coin. They put the copper coin, they bake it, and it becomes gold. Gold. Huh? They bake it, yeah. They bake the coin that has, they pass urine, the mercury urine on it, and it becomes gold. So Prabhupada was telling this in Gargamuni. This is a morning walk in Hyderabad, 1974. So Gargamuni was there, and immediately he got interested. So he said to Prabhupada, oh, we should start manufacturing? So Prabhupada told Gargamuni, okay, first eat mercury, and then you see what happens. You'll be finished. So he said, but Prabhupada said, we have enough gold. Krishna is supplying whenever we require. We don't have to do this. We depend on Krishna. And so we didn't have to try that, the yogic process. But those of you who are yogis, if you want to try that process, do it at your own risk. At your own risk. Prabhupada doesn't recommend it. Verse 30. The pseudo swamis, yogis, and incarnations who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are known as Pashandis. They themselves are fallen and cheated because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement, and whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in his turn. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of Vedic principles, Brahmanas, or those in Krishna consciousness, who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the Vedic rituals. However, being unable to stick to these principles, these rascals again fall down and take shelter among Shudras, who are very expert in making arrangements for sex indulgence. Sex is very prominent among animals like monkeys, and such people who are enlivened by sex may be called descendants of monkeys. So, this we have to be careful. Prabhupada, I don't know if it's in this purport, where Prabhupada talks about his monkey disciples. Next one? 31. Okay, we'll get there. I was remembering that. So here at the end of paragraph 1, Prabhupada says, those who actually descend from monkeys are interested in expanding their aristocratic families through sex. In the Vedas, there are certain ceremonies specially meant for sexual improvement and promotion to higher planetary systems where the demigods are enjoying sex. The demigods are also very much inclined towards sex because that is the basic principle of material enjoyment. Oh, it's right here. Paragraph 2. It's this one, no? In the Krishna conscious movement, monkey disciples, being unable to follow the strict regulative principles, sometimes fall down and try to form societies based on sex. This is proof such people are descendants of monkeys, as confirmed by Darwin. So sometimes Prabhupada agreed with Darwin. This is one example where he wasn't condemning Darwin, but he was saying these people are descendants of monkeys, those who fall down from Krishna consciousness. Yata vanara jate. So the Sanskrit, it says, they are the monkey birth. So, Virajan, we already discussed this, that sometimes devotees, they come, they can't follow the regulative principles, they go and make their own movement. Which monkey disciples? Oh, when Prabhupada was here, so many things happened, yes. There was one group. They joined with their guru. And then they left with their guru, a lot of them. And then they grew long hair, and they continued chanting and selling books, but then regulative principles were kind of lost.
In Hawaii,
yeah. Sitasru, yeah. It happened. Although he may have been following purely, but his disciples took advantage of not following. Yes, Prabhu?
Yesterday someone was telling me that some devotees looked from Eastman,
yeah,
took initiation at Radha Kund.
At Radha Kund.
And after some time they are preaching now that to understand Parakya Rasa should have Parakya Rasa Vrindavan.
Yeah. Okay, here's an example of some devotees who took initiation in ISKCON and they left. They went to Radha Kund and they took initiation there from the Babaji's, and now they're preaching that in order to understand Parakya Rasa, Krishna's relationship with the gopis, you must yourself experience it in Vrindavan. And this is going on. This is going on in Vrindavan. As I told you last year, there is congregational ladies. She came to visit Vrindavan, and she became interested in hearing some Mayavad sannyasi very close by. And so she started having a relationship with this sannyasi, breaking the regulative principles. And so then later she said to him, you know, this is not good, we should get married. So the guy, the sannyasi, says to her, but I'm a sannyasi, I can't get married. So he says, but everybody's like this, like me. All the sannyasis, they have their women, but we don't get married. So this is sannyas ashram. Mayavad sannyas ashram in Vrindavan. Yes?
I heard some devotees preaching also that Krishna has so many girlfriends, so should have at least some.
Yes. Krishna has so many girlfriends, we should have some. So Prabhupada, when we came in 1972, I came to Vrindavan for Nectar of Devotion lecture. So in his room, Prabhupada, he was very preaching to us very strongly. We were just young devotees. We didn't know anything. He said, don't associate with the Babaji's. And he said, they're a market vairagya. They're like monkeys. They look very renounced, but they have many females. So don't associate with them. He told us, he warned us in 1972 when we first came to India, to Vrindavan, that don't associate. These devotees, they come, they don't know. I know there is, one of my first classes I taught in Bhakti Shastri, it was, one of the gurus had fallen down. And so then the people who came to my class, seemed to be, a lot of them were from that guru, one of my first Bhakti Shastri classes. So they were telling me, they were arguing with me, well, why not only three regulative principles instead of four? Where does Prabhupada say that? I mean, he says it all over the place, but I had to prove. It took me a month to convince them. Four, not three. Because they think in grihastha life you only have to follow three and not four. That was their reasoning. So maybe okay if you're brahmachari, but if you're grihastha, you only follow three. But this is not what Prabhupada taught us. This is not the philosophy. Yes, I heard that too. Yes, it's going on. It's that people cannot follow, then they get operation.
In the traditions, you know, they don't cheat with their husband.
Yeah. So some people, they cannot follow. So, right. Yeah, there's. I know one has 6 children, 7 children, 8 children. I don't know how many she had. I lost count.
Isn't that breaking the
record? Yeah, it is breaking, for sure. It's breaking the principle. So anyway, this is going on. So we should all be very careful of this. Brahmacharis don't have to worry about all these things. And sannyasis, you're very lucky. And those who are single don't have to worry about this. And most of us in this class are in that category. I think no grihasthas, only one. Yes?
Do you remember the story of when Jai Satchinandan and Nithai went off with Nikur Baba?
Right, Jai Satchinandan, yeah, I don't know. Other extreme. Negative principles, right. Yes. Follow, just chant 64 rounds and you don't have to follow. But I know one such person who tried that philosophy, and then after a few months of that, he had to leave and get married and actually experience. This is what happens, yeah. I see so many women, they went to Radha Kund to be Babaji. And the result of the women going to Radha Kund to be Babaji is they get married. They all get married. I saw that's the result. And so it's just like, you can't do things like this in Vrindavan. You have to be very careful in the holy Dham. How you live, how you behave. You have to follow very strictly parampara. You have to follow the principles. Or else very easily you will lose it.
There's one class that says, if I've given three principles, I have lack of disciples.
Yes, he said, if I'll give three regulative principles, I'll have lack of disciples. So let's read the last verse for today, 31. In this way, the descendants of monkeys intermingle with each other, and they are generally known as shudras. Without hesitating, they live and move freely, not knowing the goal of life. They are captivated simply by seeing the faces of one another, which remind them of sense gratification. They are always engaged in material activities known as gramya karma, and they work hard for material benefit. Thus, they forget completely that one day their small lifespans will be finished and they will be degraded in the evolutionary cycle. So, I was quite shocked. One of my friends went to America. Their parents or their relatives, they're from Las Vegas in America. Las Vegas in America is like the center of gambling. It's all casinos, door to door, room to room, it's all gambling casinos. So there the laws are very lenient as far as marriage goes. You can get very easily married and very easily divorced within 1 hour. So my godbrother, he attended the marriage of his sister. So then she had to fill up this form for getting married. So on the form, they had a list of who you're going to get married to. So it says man to woman to man to woman, dog. Then it had dog, monkey, donkey, and then it had other. So anyway, this is going on. So this is Kali Yuga. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I haven't been to America in years, but my godbrother told me that this is the form they have to fill out in Las Vegas, Nevada, if you want to get married. So it's pretty disgusting. In India, we don't hear of these things, but these things are going on. Kali Yuga is progressing quite rapidly. We're not aware. We're so protected being in the holy Dham.
You don't have to go to Las Vegas. It's very accessible on the web.
And the web. Okay. So don't go on the web. I'm very fortunate my son doesn't like internet. So, yes. So these things are going on. And this is the forest. It's a jungle. It's really a forest of material enjoyment. It's much worse than, of course, Kali Yuga has progressed since this was written. So we can see that how it has progressed so much. And Prabhupada says in this purport here, I hope you read it already, because I don't have much time, that materialistic people are sometimes called shudras, or descendants of monkeys, due to their monkey-like intelligence. They do not care to know how the evolutionary process is taking place, nor are they eager to know what will happen after they finish their small human lifespan. So just imagine if you get married like that, then what will it be even your next life? Shudras, worse than shudras. The business of monkeys is to disturb the activities of Brahmins. Descendants of monkeys completely forget they have to die, and they are very proud of scientific knowledge and the progress of material civilization. You know, this is going on. And then in the paragraph 2, Prabhupada gives us some hope here, about 7 lines down. Krishna conscious movement is trying to bring intelligent human beings to the platform of devotional service. Instead of wasting time trying to attain a better position in material life, one should simply endeavor to return home back to Godhead, then all problems will be solved. Stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Vidantasta Vachane Vitunoti Suritstam. Shri Krishna, Personality of Godhead, Paramatma in everyone's heart, benefactor of truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So now, here Prabhupada gives us very, very important instructions. Our personal instructions from Srila Prabhupada here in this purport of verse 31. One simply has to follow the regulative principles, act like a Brahmin, chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, one purifies himself of the baser material modes, tamagun and rajagun. And becoming freed from the greed of these modes, one can attain complete peace of mind. In this way, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and one's relationship with Him, and thus be promoted to the highest perfection, Siddhim Paramam Gata. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes? Right. Whatever misery, so he says, whatever misery that is allotted to us, it will come, happiness or distress. Sukhamayindriyakam Vaitya. Question?
Why Prabhupada emphasizes so much that by remaining brahmachari one can avoid many problems?
So if our happiness and distress is predestined, then why is Prabhupada emphasizing that you should remain brahmachari? Then you don't have temptation. Are you going to reduce your distress if you remain brahmachari? Yes, Maharaj?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Yes, you will be able to reduce it.
You'll be able to reduce it. Okay, he says the karma becomes nirdhati, that's from Brahma Samhita. Mm-hmm. If you?
If it is tivra.
Tivra.
If it is intense.
Serious. Intense, serious. Intense, yes, as long as you're a Krishna conscious brahmachari, then you can reduce it, because Krishna promises in Gita, aham tvam sarvapapebhyo, you will reduce your karma, you will reduce your distress and your happiness.
Otherwise,
both.
Otherwise,
if it's not tivra.
And Hitlupade says, whatever is destined to become will happen and cannot be otherwise.
So if you don't do tivra means very serious, very severe, very heavy devotional service, then it will become what?
Then Hitlupade says, whatever is destined to happen will happen and cannot be otherwise.
So whatever is destined to happen will happen and cannot be otherwise.
Also,
yes. Yes. Krishna appreciates austerity. He says, what is it about tapo? He says, it is austerity is my heart. By austerity, Lord Brahma created the universe. This is austerity. He loves it. This is very pleasing to Krishna. If you can do this austerity, it's very difficult to do this in one for one lifetime. Yes. One of the meanings of brahmacharya is one who lives under the protection of the acharya who will guide him.
And the duty of acharya, not duty, but what he does, he's teaching him how to perform akarma activity which will not bring any result, material results.
So the acharya is teaching the brahmacharya how to do activity which is akarma, which will not bring results.
So he'll just perform less mistakes then.
So he'll do less mistakes. If you keep yourself under the acharya, then you can do it. Yes, Maharaj?
Any acharati.
Brahmacharati is the only way to free yourself from the modes of nature. Brahmacharati, which means?
Keeping your mind in the Supreme.
Keeping your mind in the Supreme. Brahmacharati. Keep your mind in the Supreme. Sankirtan. Yes. Maybe 75, since 75. Right. It's very clear. Okay. So the question is, we've had these books since 1975, so why did everyone get married, especially Prabhupada disciples mostly? It's recommended, yes? Maharaj has an answer? Why? Yes?
Eighty
brahmacharis. Where?
It was in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Srila
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day.
1975. So he said, you preach, I and you pray to Krishna, and Krishna can make this itching sensation go away. And you flip his hand like it was the most insignificant thing for Krishna to do.
Right. You pray, you preach, you pray, and Krishna will make the itching sensation go away.
Even like that, like it was like nothing.
It's nothing. So Maharaj has that, you have that experience. You became sannyas from Brahmachari.
Then he said 10 seconds, he said the same thing more intensely.
Then he said the same thing more intensely after 10 seconds. And if it, you can see also, even if.
And then after that, and we were like in a shock. All of us were shocked and just stunned by the statement. But then he goes, but if it does not go away, then you can take. And then he pointed to two specific councilmen who were standing in the back.
Okay, then if it doesn't go away, like them you can take.
So I understood. When he said it doesn't go away, then I understood. The application was deficient.
The application was deficient.
I immediately understood the application was deficient. It didn't go away because the application was deficient.
Okay, the reason why it doesn't go away is because the application was deficient. So you can do it, and you probably have done it for many lives already. Since you're here in Vrindavan and you're already a Sanskrit scholar and whatever, you're here in this association. So this being in this association is not an ordinary thing. It's the goal of Nectar of Devotion, to get association of devotees discussing Bhagavatam in Vrindavan. This is the goal of life. So it's quite possible for everyone to actually succeed, that already you've got so much going for you. So you just have to do a little bit more, just one life. One little life. You're already halfway over, right?
Yeah.
It's an irrevocable part of the... So there's no loss. You probably said if they're agitated, let them get married, no problem. And they learn the hard way. Yes. Yes. That's true. Prabhupada says in Gita, Argrihastas, if they live according... If they actually follow the four regulative principles, they're Grihastha Brahmacharis. That's a fact. And to find one of those Grihastha Brahmacharis is probably very rare. And actually they were doing, somebody told me they wanted to do a sacrifice in Kanpur, in some big, big city of India. And to do that sacrifice, they had to have pure grihastas. They couldn't find anyone in the whole city, so they couldn't do the sacrifice. They had pure, nobody volunteered to put themselves forward, that they were pure grihastas. Yes. Okay, well, one more and then we'll change. We still have a little time.
Because in Gita, Krishna says
426. Yeah, if you actually put the sense object in the fire set of...
Yeah.
So
it's two different things.
Right.
Griha
Medhi, right.
It's two different terms.
Right, right. So we should be careful when we speak, yes. Because actually, Madhavendra Puri Prabhu is a very good example of grihastha life. Pure grihastha. Pure grihastha life. Yes. And I know many examples, actually. I know. In Vrindavan. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada, in text
18,
seems to
refer to the
text
18. Right.
No, well, Prabhupada.
Okay. Okay, after class, you two can get together and and we'll see who wins. Okay, last comment, Damana Krishna. Oh, we want to change the subject, do we? Wait, let's change the subject. I think it's better. Adi Purush?
Just a short comment.
Short comment. I think we should have changed the subject while we were ahead. Yeah.
Herons, buzzards.
And vultures.
And crows.
And crows.
Actually, these are known categories of the false Brahmins.
Oh, these are known categories of false Brahmins. From where? How do we know?
In Manusamhita, it mentions cats and herons.
Cats?
And herons.
And herons. False Brahmins.
Yes, so, can you read who is a cat?
Who is a cat? So a cat is Dharmatwaji. He shows the flag of religion, but he's doing everything else. He's cheating. He's hypocrite.
And heron...
cat. Heron is?
And heron is a cruel person.
Cruel person.
Who cheats the followers.
Who cheats the followers.
There's a story of a heron who was rather old and couldn't catch fish.
Oh, yeah, the heron. I know that story. It was from Panchatantra, who was very old. He couldn't catch fish. Heron is a bird, old bird. He couldn't catch fish. So
he came to the lake and started crying and crying.
Came to the lake and started crying?
Because he was hungry.
Because he was hungry.
And the fish died.
So he said, I feel so much pity for you fish, you're all going to die.
This lake is going to go dry.
This lake is going to go dry.
Oh, I feel so, so...
I'm so concerned for your welfare.
Oh, what to do?
What to do, the fish asked the heron.
He said, I know one way out, but you will never agree.
I know one way out, but you'll never agree.
I know another lake, I can carry one way
out. Oh. He says, I know a lake very close by, I'll carry you one by one to the lake. And we know what happened. As he was carrying the fish started to disappear. So this is a cheating Brahmin who is like a heron. Okay, there must be one for a cat too. We don't know that story. The tiger. There's the tiger that was preaching to a Brahmin and said, I have this gold bracelet. Preaching to this traveler. Yeah, okay. Okay, so we should stop here. Well, okay, we have one more thing to say.
Crows, as far as I understand.
Okay, crow.
These are those who collect donations for a yagya but don't use it.
Those who collect donations for a yagya but don't use it for the yagya.
They use some part of it.
They use some part for the yagya and the other part is for him. Crows. Okay? Okay, we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.